This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. Yo, welcome back to the podcast. Check it out. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different than most episodes of the podcast because what we're going to do is I'm actually going to share a full audiobook summary with you on one of my favorite business books ever. It's called Zero to One: Notes on Startups or How to Build the Future. It was written by a guy named Peter Thiel, who is a multi-billionaire. He actually founded PayPal, and he's the guy who influenced Elon Musk, who eventually, as you know, started Tesla and SpaceX. He advised and worked with, originally from the PayPal team, this group of guys who eventually went on to start huge multi-billion dollar businesses. So to say the least, this guy knows, he's got a lot of knowledge bombs about building businesses and making them successful, insanely successful. And so it's an eye-opening book. It's really not like any other business book personally that I've read before. And so I thought, you know what, let me just share the whole thing with you guys and hopefully you can, you know, find some value out of it and make it useful and turn it into action within either your business or in your career. It doesn't matter if you're an entrepreneur or if you're an intrapreneur, you know, where you're crushing it within an organization, a large company. You'll be able to take some of the insights from this book regardless and put them to use, whether that's startups, building a new piece of technology, whether that means leading teams and inspiring people. You know, this is a pretty action-packed book here. And so I tried to condense some of the best ideas from the book in this book summary for you. And so I hope you enjoy it. So again, this is 0 to 1, Notes on Startups or How to Build the Future. Let's dive in. Enjoy. Overview. This book is essentially a collection of lectures delivered by Peter Thiel during his teaching years at Stanford. Along with co-author and former student Blake Masters, Thiel has put together a hard-hitting set of standards for entrepreneurs, startups, and thought leaders to carefully consider when building the next big thing of the future. Quite frankly, certain sections of the book are so well put together that one just sits there and thinks about them after reading the big ideas. Chapter after chapter, Thiel gives example after example of how to successfully build the future. But why listen to Thiel? Well, Peter Thiel has played an important role in partnering with, inspiring, or investing in some of the most successful tech entrepreneurs in the United States, and probably the world, including Elon Musk, who founded SpaceX and co-founded Tesla Motors, Reid Hoffman, who co-founded LinkedIn, Steve Chen, Chad Hurley, and Javed Karim, who together founded YouTube, Jeremy Stoppelman and Russell Simmons, who founded Yelp, David Sachs, who co-founded Yammer, and himself, Peter Thiel, who founded PayPal and Palantir. Oh, and by the way, all of the above-named companies are worth at least $1 billion each. That's a serious chunk of change. Now, reading 0 to 1 is sort of like taking a peek into the mind of one of the most successful multi-billionaire investors alive today. In this book summary, we'll get into the top 10 to 12 key takeaways from the book, including the do's and don'ts of startups, what to focus on when building a startup, and insights on building a billion-dollar startup that stands the test of time. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Big idea number one, learn to go from 0 to 1. Quote, doing what we already know how to do takes the world from 1 to N, adding more of something familiar. But every time we create something new, we go from 0 to 1. The act of creation is singular, as is the moment of creation, and the result is something fresh and something strange. Unquote. Thiel spends a great deal of the preface and first chapter putting into perspective the difference between going from 1 to N, that is, doing more of what's already been done, versus going from 0 to 1, that is, doing something that's never been done before. Bottom line, challenge the status quo. Really and truly do your best to, quote-unquote, think different, and go from 0 to 1 rather than 1 to N. An actionable insight from this big idea is this: innovation essentially equals creating and doing something totally new. When you're creating something, when you're starting a business, a new piece of technology, software, whatever it may be, think innovation. Big idea number 2. Don't be afraid to ask contrarian questions. Quote, conventional beliefs only ever appear arbitrary and wrong in retrospect. Whenever one collapses, we call the old belief a bubble. But the distortions caused by bubbles don't disappear when they pop. The internet craze of the 1990s was the biggest bubble since the crash of 1929, and the lessons learned afterward define and distort almost all thinking about technology today. The first step to thinking clearly is to question what we think we know about the past. End quote. Now that last sentence was so good, it deserves repeating. The first step to thinking clearly is to question what we think we know about the past. Far too often, we make premature conclusions about business based on misinterpreted reactions to past mistakes. For example, just because investors overinvested in technology in the late 90s, that is, the dot-com era, doesn't mean that entrepreneurs of today should become strict adherents to being as lean, quote-unquote, as possible in their business approach. The past does not equal the future. According to Thiel, the business mistakes of the past have dictated the approach entrepreneurs decide to take for the future. For example, Silicon Valley entrepreneurs learned 4 big lessons from the dot-com crash that still guide business thinking today. Make incremental advances, stay lean and flexible, that is, no plan, lots of iteration, improve on the competition, focus on product, not sales. Now, according to Thiel, the 4 lessons we just mentioned were mistakenly accepted as dogma for the modern-day startup because of the mistakes of the past. Proposing the opposite principles instead, Thiel says that it's better to risk boldness than triviality. He says a bad plan is better than no plan. Competitive markets actually destroy profits. And that sales matter just as much as product does. A couple of actionable insights from this big idea are as follows. Instead of doing the absolute opposite of something that didn't work in the past, think for yourself and formulate an informed hypothesis of whether it might work in your own particular situation. Constantly ask yourself when considering a new project or endeavor, what important truth do very few people agree with you on? Also keep in mind the business version of the question. What valuable company is nobody building? Big idea number 3. Avoid competition. Quote, Americans mythologize competition and credit it with saving us from socialist breadlines. Actually, capitalism and competition are opposites. Capitalism is premised on the accumulation of capital, but under perfect competition, all profits get competed away. The lesson for entrepreneurs is clear. If you want to create and capture lasting value, do not build an undifferentiated commodity business. End quote. Now, I don't know about you, but many of our team members here at Flashbooks have come to the consensus that each of us individually has been in more negative competition-related situations in life than positive ones. And unfortunately for some of us, competing with people has even resulted in some pretty nasty things. Feelings have gotten hurt, friendships and bonds have weakened or broken altogether. Both in life and in business, competing with others simply doesn't seem to be as healthy as society seems to believe it is. creating trumps competing. Focusing on the competition works well in a narrowly defined activity, like swimming, for instance. But if you're trying to build a company, the only thing you'll get out of focusing on the competition is a one-way ticket to bankruptcy court, or something equally as bad. So, rather than wasting your time, your efforts, and energy focusing on the competition, it's far better to focus on dominating all of, or a majority of, a small niche market. Big idea number four, build a monopoly. Quote, monopoly means new products that benefit everybody and sustainable profits for the creator. Competition means no profits for anybody, no meaningful differentiation, and a struggle for survival. So why do people believe that competition is healthy? The answer is that competition is not just an economic concept or a simple inconvenience that individuals and companies must deal with in the marketplace. More than anything else, competition is an ideology, the ideology that pervades our society and distorts our thinking. We preach competition, internalize its necessity, and enact its commandments, and as a result, we trap ourselves within it. Even though the more we compete, the less we gain. End quote. So what's a monopoly? A monopoly is a company that has the majority of control over a specific market. The greatest example of a modern-day monopoly is Google. Characteristics of Google and other monopolies? Well, most monopolies with large cash flows seem to share the following characteristics. Thiel warns, by the way, that this is not a checklist, but a list of common characteristics in successful monopolies that you should think about through the lens of your own business. Okay, so let's get into it. Proprietary technology. This is the biggest advantage a company can set up for itself because it's the aspect of your business that makes it difficult to replicate. For example, Google's algorithm has made it the best search engine we know thus far, in large part due to the fact that Bing, Yahoo, and others can't replicate it, or could not replicate it fast enough. In order to create an advantage like this for yourself, you need to aim for a 10x improvement on whatever you're doing. Anything less and you risk being known for nothing more than a marginal improvement. When you can improve upon something by 10x or more, you've made it difficult for others to catch up. Think about what PayPal did when they created the first payment system to allow transactions to be conducted with email, at least a 10x improvement on payment transfers and acceptance. Think about what Apple did when they released the iPad, at least a 10x improvement on tablets, which many of us never even knew existed before an iPad came out, probably because they were too hard to use. Think about what Amazon did when they became the world's largest bookstore, effectively replacing brick and mortars like Barnes & Noble as the go-to place to buy books. The next characteristic of a monopoly is network effects. To leverage people's ability to spread a product and generate virality by sharing it with others. Think about Facebook, YouTube, Vine, Twitter. The next characteristic is economies of scale. Ensure you build a product that scales. Twitter is scalable by design. Yoga business is not scalable by design. Although not impossible to scale, it is inherently more complicated to continue growing in comparison to something like Twitter. Tweet, tweet. The next characteristic of a monopoly is branding. Branding and positioning is important, but only if there's something substantially valuable underneath it. So dominate a specific niche and then scale. Start with a small target market and focus on it. Once you've succeeded, then broaden your horizons from there. This is what the most successful companies do. Think about Amazon. Jeff Bezos deliberately started with the intention of making Amazon the world's largest bookstore. Once that happened, he expanded into adjacent markets. Do not become a disruption. Napster was a disruption. They disrupted the music recording industry almost overnight and became massively huge as a result of doing so. And then they ended up filing for bankruptcy shortly thereafter. Avoid startup ideas that disrupt and compete. This sounds counterintuitive at first because many new businesses want to promote like crazy and let the competition know that there's a new sheriff in town. But in all actuality, the best approach in the beginning is to avoid these tactics, as they may sometimes lead to problems a startup should not be dealing with. A couple of actionable insights to keep in mind from this big idea. Niche first, expand later. Do not disrupt, avoid competing, create something that contributes to the overall growth of the industry or market that you're serving in instead. Big idea number 5, become a definite optimist. Quote, hundreds of people have started multiple multi-million dollar businesses. A few, like Steve Jobs, Jack Dorsey, and Elon Musk, have created several multi-billion dollar companies. If success were mostly a matter of luck, these kinds of serial entrepreneurs probably would not exist. In January 2013, Jack Dorsey, founder of Twitter and Square, tweeted to his 2 million followers, quote, success is never accidental, unquote. Some folks say that successful people are lucky. This is rarely ever the case. When an individual succeeds at something, they usually planned on making that happen. If you want to become successful, whether with a startup or a personal endeavor, here's what Thiel recommends. Figure out what you want and why you want it. Develop a long-term plan for the future and execute against it strategically. Big idea number 6, leverage the power of exponential growth. Quote, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. End quote. Matthew chapter 25, verse 29. Albert Einstein actually made the same observation when he stated that compound interest was, quote, the eighth wonder of the world, the greatest mathematical discovery of all time, or even the most powerful force in the universe, end quote. Now, supposedly, the quote we just mentioned was misattributed to Einstein, but regardless of whether he said it or not, the power of exponential growth remains without a doubt one of the most powerful phenomena known to man. Big idea number 7. Follow the power law. Quote, power law distributions are so big that they hide in plain sight. For example, when most people outside Silicon Valley think of venture capital, they might picture a small and quirky coterie like ABC's Shark Tank, only without commercials. After all, less than 1% of new businesses started each year in the U.S. receive venture funding, and total VC investment accounts for less than 0.2% of GDP. But the results of those investments disproportionately propel the entire economy. Venture-backed companies create 11% of all private sector jobs. They generate annual revenues equivalent to an astounding 21% of GDP. Indeed, the dozen largest tech companies were all venture-backed. Together, those 12 companies are worth more than $2 trillion, more than all other tech companies combined. End quote. The power law tells us essentially what Pareto's principle tells us. The efforts of the few, 20%, are responsible for the majority of results, 80%. So, might be wise to put the power law into action in your own endeavors. Big idea number 8, assemble a team of startup superstars. Quote, The first team that I built has become known in Silicon Valley as the PayPal Mafia, because so many of my former colleagues have gone on to help each other start and invest in successful tech companies. We sold PayPal to eBay for $1.5 billion in 2002. Since then, Elon Musk has founded SpaceX and co-founded Tesla Motors. Reid Hoffman co-founded LinkedIn. Steve Chen, Chad Hurley, Javed Karim together founded YouTube. Jeremy Stoppelman and Russell Simmons founded Yelp. David Sachs co-founded Yammer, and I co-founded Palantir. Today, all seven of those companies are worth more than $1 billion each. End quote. Wow. How many people can say that they inspired, advised, hired, and/or worked with people like Elon Musk and companies like SpaceX, LinkedIn, or Yelp? These are some of the coolest, most innovative companies of the 21st century, so far at least. So, what's the secret behind these types of billion-dollar firms? Quite frankly, it's actually pretty simple. Have them focus on one big thing. In Thiel's words, his ability to assemble teams that build billion-dollar companies lies within his focus on making every person in the company responsible for doing just one thing. Every employee's one thing was unique, and everyone knew I would evaluate him only on that one thing. Why just one big thing? Because defining roles reduces conflict. Most fights inside a company happen when colleagues compete for the same responsibilities. Startups face an especially high risk of this, since job roles are fluid at the early stages. Eliminating competition makes it easier for everyone to build the kinds of long-term relationships that transcend mere professionalism. More than that, internal peace is what enables a startup to survive at all. When a startup fails, we often imagine it succumbing to predatory rivals in a competitive ecosystem. But every company is also its own ecosystem, and factional strife makes it vulnerable to outside threats. That's a biggie right there. End quote. Here are some actionable steps you can start planning and putting into play right now. Actionable insights from this big idea. Make everyone do or focus on one big thing. If you've got a team and you're trying to put together a team to progress your company forward, to move your startup forward, to get it launched, to grow your business, every team member you have should have their own focus. One thing, nothing more. Hire people that want to work for you because they believe in what you and the organization believe. Make sure everyone gets along, and do not be afraid to hire people who are a little obsessive about their work. It's not always a bad thing. Big idea number 9, sell, sell, sell. Quote, if you've invented something new, but you haven't invented an effective way to sell it, you have a bad business, no matter how good the product may be. End quote. This is so true. If all you do is build it, they will not come. Because you've got to make sure that you distribute that awesome new product or service as well. And you need to do it really, really effectively. Unfortunately, many of the most intelligent folks in the world, namely engineers, do not believe in sales. Or they believe that the product will quote-unquote sell itself. The truth is, the product will not sell itself. We need to get up and take actionable steps toward distributing the product once we've designed it. Actionable insights to make that happen? Figure out what you need to do to ensure you're distributing your products, programs, or services via the appropriate channels. Will it be personal selling? Will you need to take out ads? Will you need to generate some PR attention? It would be wise to figure out and make happen for yourself and your company. Otherwise, your business is essentially doomed because no one will know about it. Big idea number 10, think about the future. Quote, our task today is to find singular ways to create the new things that will make the future not just different, but better. To go from zero to one. The essential first step is to think for yourself. Only by seeing our world anew, as fresh and strange as it was to the ancients who saw it first, can we both recreate it and preserve it for the future. End quote. It's up to you and I. Regardless of whether we are entrepreneurs or intrapreneurs, that is, working within an organization, the decisions we make today determine the success, or lack thereof, that we experience tomorrow. So we want to issue a challenge to you, as Thiel does in this phenomenal book, to think critically about what you want to do with your business or career or life and the ultimate impact it will have on the future. Do you want to do something familiar, ordinary, and average? Or do you want to do something extraordinary, something that no one has seen before? Thinking ordinary gets you from 1 to N. Thinking extraordinary gets you from 0 to 1. Now let's go build the future. Thank you for listening to this Flashbooks audio summary on 0 to 1, Notes on Startups or How to Build the Future by Peter Thiel and Blake Masters, narrated by Dean Bukhari. To get more great self-help and business book summaries you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes, visit getflashnotes.com. Again, for more nonfiction book summaries you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes each, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Yo, it's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbukhari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bukhari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.